Blog Talk Radio.
Because this is setting up for the Mark of the Beast record. You can't go unless you have a shot. That is the most of the Mark of the Beast.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my greatest path, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversary, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity.
Evening Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello.
Pastor, are you really as bad as what you sound? Oh, yeah, I am. I'm bad, dude. I'm bad. And more than that, we're good, dude. We're good. We are really, really good.
Amen.
And? Besides that, we're awesome because we got the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for your awesome power in our life, in every single way and every single day. And I hope you're ready for a great night tonight, because tonight we've got Saturday Night Live, and Saturday Night Live is live because it's Saturday night and it's live.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that made sense to you or not, but it made perfect sense to us because the reality is, it is what it is. Did you get what it is?
Well, it kind of is our life because it's full participation question.
This is full participation. The boss just said it. Tonight, this is full contact sport right here. This is this is not that fake stuff. This is the real. We're glad to have you with us. We're going to run over and go live now on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. And we welcome you to come and be alive with us on Saturday Night Live. On Saturday Night Live. Here we go.
There's a notification.
Hey, we're live.
We always go into this quiet scramble as soon as we go live. We're still here, Blog Talk.
Brother Mike.
Facebook, no.
Brother Mike, welcome. This is Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? You're just going to give me what I've typed, and then you're not going to put nothing else in. And Kyle, Mike, Tony, Saturday Night Live atmosphere. The calm before the lion. That's a good one. I like it. Matter of fact, I've seen a lot of good ones this last week. I really like that statement. The calm before the lion. That's, I don't know where you got it, bro, but that's really good.
That is really good.
This is what you call the calm before the lion. I like it. I'm now putting it in the notes, and I'm now going to, this is going to manifest, and the calm before the lion hits. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
That's amazing. I hope you're ready for a good night. I hope you got all your Bibles laid out. I do. I hope you got all your Bibles laid out, got your cell phone ready, got your computer ready, got your tablet ready. Give your wife a tablet and a computer and say, let's tear this up, Pastor.
Got your
e-sword tuned up and tuned on. And you're ready to go because I'm planning on having one amazing time tonight. Answering some serious good questions. I zoned way out over there, but it's all right. I was looking at a really good verse. And when I got over there, it's like, whoa, wow, look at there. And there's not only one, there's two verses over there. And I think those are verses that we need. So I'm going to grab them real quick. And what a statement. This is the calm before the lion. Robert Mormon, welcome. Shannon Tony, welcome. Dan Cotto, welcome. Hopefully you guys got a big cup of coffee that you can take a slurp on. When Leanne said you're always quiet in the first moments of live, that's what immediately came to my mind, the calm before the lion. I like it too. We should something. Don't know what that says, but we should it. Oh, trademark. Oh, that's a good one. Trademark, TM. Chris Timmer's with us tonight. Chris, you did a fantastic job last night, man. I'm gonna get out of the fantasy word and get into the Bible word. You did an amazing job last night, brother, and we're proud of you.
Yes, he did. Everybody thoroughly enjoyed it.
And people are people. Trade a mark it. That's a good one. You got another good one, Mike. You guys must have been praying in the spirit all day. You didn't do anything. Well, just so you know, brother, nobody else was talking besides you. So, yeah, you did something. The cool thing about God, as the old farmer said, somebody walked up and said, wow, look at that beautiful garden that God made. He said, well, that garden took the farmer because you should have seen how it looked before I got here and started anything. Just weeds and rocks. So thank you for your diligence last night. Thank you for helping speak the word. And it's going to be a program that blesses a lot of creatures, Chris. It really is. It's going to bless a lot of people. And I thank you for being a part of it and making it happen last night. You that's joining us tonight, we welcome you. What is going on? There it is. The calm before the lion. I really like that, Mike. Man, we say that differently. I really like that, Holy Spirit. Help some other people say some powerful words. YouTube is almost up. The go live button was hiding. YouTube is now up. Hopefully you've had an absolutely amazing day today. Kelly Delkert, Wilma Tony, welcome, welcome. Dan Cotto, Shannon Tony, Chris Timmer. Now, today at the noon program, we were talking. Amen, brother. Speak it loud, speak it often, send it to them, I'm sure you did, and have them speak it over themselves every day. Bless you, Chris. Love you, man. Today, during the noon program, and I'm going to call on everybody to give us a hand here tonight. We said we got to get a good name for this day. All right. So the church world has called Good Friday Good Thursday, even though Good Friday ought to be on Good Thursday. They chose Friday. But watch this. We got to get a name for this Saturday in Holy Week. This Saturday, what would be today during Holy Week? This is the day Jesus is in hell or heaven, either one, placing his blood everywhere that it needed to be to totally dominate our enemy in every way he can dominate him. Now, put all of those words that I just said into about three words. Somebody help me. I've been after it all day, still don't have it, but it's all right if one of you get it because it's a good word. It's got to be something like Conquer Saturday, but that doesn't work. That's not poetic enough. Because literally on this day, Jesus has his blood on the mercy seat. His blood is in hell. And he has stripped all the enemy of its power. Domination Saturday.
Ooh, that's good.
I like that. That's got a really good Genesis chapter 1 sound. You might say, Pastor, what is it you're trying to do? Well, the church world for years have had Good Friday. Even though it shouldn't be Good Friday, it should be Good Thursday. But everybody knows Good Friday. And they talk about it being the day that Jesus was crucified.
Well, we need to start actually celebrating it on Thursday and help people make that shift.
Got to take the handyman back home. God bless the handyman. Watch. On this day, Jesus is somewhere in heaven or hell crushing the enemy or making the sacrifice perfect. So how do you say all of that in one, in a couple words? Sister Shannon said, Domination Saturday. I like that. What we really should have is two S words. Or even three. Saturday. Superiority. Saturday.
Savior Saturday.
Woo. That was a good one. Yeah. But
Salvation
Saturday. Yeah, that's good. But you got to get that dominate word in there. Today is quite literally the calm before the lion, in the tomb as a lion, raised again as a lion. And I'm sure hell got a great glimpse of a lion. Well, I'm sure it did too. But I also know the lamb showed up in hell. When you get the picture of a lamb in hell, just walking unhindered, untouched, little lamb, walking right down through all the demons, untouched, unable to touch him. Because what made the whole thing powerful is the spotless lamb. Well, everybody on YouTube, we're glad to have you with us. This is just Saturday Night Live. This is what we do. We get here, and everybody just starts going, man. We got Wilma Tony with us tonight. Got Kelly Delker, Robert Mulderman. I can't see who's on YouTube, but welcome. We got a good group on YouTube already. Here's the revelation. If you got a Holy Week question, this is question and answer night. And now we have Chris Rich. She showed up, and she brought with her 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Donuts.
17 cups of coffee.
Oh.
And 3, 6, 9, 15 donuts. So Chris Rich has arrived.
I'll be over there in a minute.
17 cups of coffee and 15 donuts in one night on a Saturday. Woo! Everybody might want to head on over to YouTube because the back row is doing good on YouTube tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Salvation Saturday. See, one of the things we got to see about this is 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, in the center of the earth, what Jesus said. Well, why did it take 3 days? Don't make it some ethereal, spiritual, holy, sanctimonious reason. Jesus had a lot of stuff to get done. He had to get his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. He had to go to hell and take away the keys of death, hell, the grave. He had to dominate Satan. He had to strip it of all his power. So, you know, Salvation Saturday. Domination Saturday. Come on. We're going to come up. The Holy Spirit's going to give us a word tonight. You watch. If he gives it to you, don't hesitate to say it. And it'll be something that we're known for. I've already got one cup down. So, Chris, I need one of yours. So you're only going to have 16 tonight. But Tony, what's it like in Houghton Lake tonight? Nobody gave us a weather report. Everybody check in. It's going to be a good night.
Yeah, we had a beautiful day here.
Beautiful day. All the way up to 70 degrees. Quite literally the calm before the lion. I'm telling you what. You got to know that Jesus shook hell to pieces, man. He shook hell to pieces. And tonight, we're going to do the same thing. So if you have a good Holy Week question and you haven't gotten in yet, Make sure you send it by messenger or by text. You can text me, email me. 55 today and sunny. That's a good. You can ride a motorcycle in 55 degree weather.
Did you go motorcycle riding, Wilma?
Were you riding your motorcycle, Wilma? You ate your two donuts.
Oh.
All right, 55 and sunny. I like that. I like 55 and sunny in Houghton Lake even.
Do you need more coffee?
Yeah, I can take more coffee. What I don't like in Houghton Lake is about 8:30 at night all summer long riding a motorcycle because there's way too many mayflies in that town. Well, this ain't Stump the Pastor because Pastor's got a team now. And so if you stump me, then the question will automatically be rolled over to Brother Mike. And Brother Dan. I see Brother Dan's with us tonight. Brother Chris Timmers, he's been around the church for years. And we're going to just keep stomping this thing. And Holy Spirit, have your way here tonight in Jesus' mighty name. That's messed up. Just let me tell you, you only ride through Houghton Lake one night right at dusk without a bandana on your face. You only do it one time without a windshield because from then on, you're like, there ain't no reason any man ought to have to spit that many bug parts out of his teeth for that long a period of time after he gets out of a beautiful city like Houghton Lake, Michigan. Because I have been there. But it's a beautiful city. We love it. Are we ready? Cup of coffee number two coming up.
Okay, pass the donuts now.
Pass the donuts now. Hallelujah. You don't have a motorcycle. Well, you should get one. I know. I didn't miss a single book. I did them all. And, you know, your windshield gets all bugged up, and then you turn the wipers on, and it's like, oh, those bug guts, they don't just move off very easy.
Don't.
No. And it's almost like you got to have that winter zone windshield washer fluid in your car in the summer, so you got that power wash going on.
Yeah.
But wait, if you eat a lot of mayflies, I mean, the fish eat them, look how healthy they are. You might as well eat a few mayflies.
They only live a few years, though. They could actually work against you. They're healthy for 2 years, and then they die.
The pickup truck beats me up enough. But, you know, Wilma, you'd probably look really good on a spider. That one time in West Branch when we was doing the biker ministry, a lady called me and she said, "Hi, Pastor Sam, I just want to know if I can join your biker ministry." And I'm like, "Well, I guess. Why?" We didn't really have a join process, but I said, "Really? All you got to do, ma'am, is just show up." She goes, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "Do I ride my motorcycle?" I said, "Well, you do if you have one." And I'm thinking, this isn't a young lady here. And I said, "Well, you know, I got her name." I said, "So if you don't mind me asking, ma'am, how old are you?" What'd she say? 83?
83.
I'm 83. I'm like, come on, 83 years old? She goes, "Well, I ride a spider." I'm like, "I don't care. Ride your spider." So the next Sunday she showed up.
Yeah.
On her spider. Yeah. It was amazing.
She literally is not a day over 40, though. In her spirit, she just isn't.
What was her name?
Give me a minute. Burns. Valois.
Valois, if you're listening tonight, we love you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Come on and say hi to everybody. Her brother bought her the bike for her 80th birthday.
Yeah.
Her brother bought her a spider for her 80th birthday. Don't you love it when you have a brother like that? I'm like, man, this is the coolest story ever. And she already had like 15,000 miles on it or something. I took it for a ride. It's a pretty nice piece of equipment. And anyways, I'm not telling you you got to do that, Wilma.
But it would be really fun if you did. You'd probably love it.
Wait, you know what the fun part is, Wilma, about a spider? Is showing up on your spider on the day everybody is riding a Harley.
Yeah.
And you just ride up in the middle of them, like, I'm here. Where are we going? And they're all like, are you serious? This is a Harley group. I know, but I'm on a spider. Isn't it cool? Everybody's like, Pastor, what does this have to do with God? Absolutely nothing. Except everything, because he loves us to have a good time.
Yeah.
He loves us to have a good time. Some of them are like a rainbow. I don't know what they're made of, but they sure are colorful. Yeah, but Mike, it don't make them taste any better, but they, no matter what color they are. I can't figure out what a bass sees in them. You can fry me a whole frying pan full of them and put onions and mushrooms in it. And it still tastes good. I hope you all have enjoyed our talk tonight about motorcycles and Houghton Lake. It's a beautiful city. You got to go see it someday. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Let's rise. We'll say the Pledge of Allegiance and have a moment of silence, honor our troops, and then we'll get right into the night. If you haven't sent your question in, you can put it live if you want. But if not, send it to us in an email, send it to us through Messenger or into the text. And let's answer all your Holy Week questions tonight.
Yeah.
We have one on deck. What's the new heaven and the new earth going to be like?
That's a good question.
I think I'd prefer manna and quail. It must have been good. They picked it up by the quart jars. Whether or not they had the quart jar, but anyways.
They had quart vessels.
They had something that was quartish. And what was it Jesus told them? Fill them pots and they were furthings or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyways. Here we go. Rise together with me. And we will make our Pledge of Allegiance and get ourselves started here tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Render your honor, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action and those who've paid the last full measure of devotion. It's in honor of all of those who have been wounded in a battle and they carry the scars in their spirit, their soul, and their body. It's in honor of those who have faithfully served and today may be serving. This moment of silence lasts for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, join me in singing God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. is America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
And now, well, let's pray for our dear sister, Chris. She just said years ago, a friend of the family was killed in a car accident. Let's pray for this person now in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is where you shine, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right here, right now, today, we dig right now, tonight, we say, live and not die. Live and not die. We declare, whoever this friend is, as intercessors standing in the gap, in the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who gave us the assignment, whosoever sins we remit, they'll be remitted. If there's any unremitted sin in their life, we call it remitted now, so that the prayers of the intercessors, us, have an effect in their life right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You said it, Jesus. You said, Tabitha Kuhn, to the man in the funeral and the procession, rise. And he rose. You said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know the name. But we say, live and do not die. Amen. According to the word of God. In the authority of God's holy word, based in Mark chapter 14, that these things and greater will we do in your name, because you go to the Father and send us the Holy Spirit. And we speak it now in Jesus' mighty name. Life come back into this person. In the name of Jesus. This is not your will. Accidents are not your will. Death by accidents is not your will. And in the name of Jesus, we say, live and do not die in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Speak it done right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak over Don Jr. You live now, and life comes in your body now, in the name of Jesus. Life to these cells and tissues. Life to every one of his organs. Life to this process. We bound the spirit of infirmity and any other demonic spirit of death. Your power is broken in Don Jr.'s life, and we declare he lives now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak over everyone in our midst that has been dealing with this COVID virus. COVID-19, your power is broken in their lives. And this man that Chris sent me, Robert sent the text, in the name of Jesus, you will live and you will not die. You will live and be healthy now. And your body will resist this in my name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise, Lord. We thank you that you are working in the lives of these people. Everybody just open your eyes for a minute and just say this. I declare over every virus.
I declare over every
you have no power.
You have no power.
In my life.
In my
family's life.
In my family.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
Because of
the name of Jesus.
Because of the name
I am a minister of reconciliation.
I
am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. I have the DNA of God Almighty. And I command life and life more abundantly. Now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Can you give me that list of names again? I know we're supposed to be praying for the church, but this became an immediate situation. We'll pray that in a minute. Travis, in the name of Jesus, receive life in your body now. Life right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak life. I speak over Mikey, Velma, and Joy. Life and life more abundantly. We speak over Christine and Rebecca. Life and life more abundantly now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak over Erica. Life in your body now in the name of Jesus. In the Thorsby family, every single one of them, we speak life to the Thorsby family now in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Reuben, Eltalina, Ben and Darlene, Susie, in the name of Jesus, life to you. Life, 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 life. We call it done now in the name of Jesus. Your body receives life and resists the death in the name of Jesus. We speak over the Chris and Debbie Davis family. In the name of Jesus, life to you, Debbie Davis. Life to you, Chris Jr. Life to you, Jameson and Chelsea. Life to you, Shirley and Vic and Roger. Life to you and your lives now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. If you've got a loved one or a friend, somebody on Facebook that all of a sudden has said they're in the hospital with COVID, you start rebuking the spirit of death immediately. You start speaking life immediately into their body. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Man, people get in there like that, and it's like this thing goes upside down. All right, this is what we say. Life and life more abundantly in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak life and life more abundantly. You know, I hope that you don't get offended at me having my eyes open when I'm praying. This is an interesting thing to say. But I'm not going to face my enemy with my eyes closed. That's not wisdom. When you and I close our eyes in prayer and worship to our Father, that's praise and worship. That's honor to his presence. That's closing our eyes so we're focused. But when we start rebuking the devil, we do not give him the same close our eyes part of prayer and worship that we give to our Father, who is worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And you can ask any one of these veterans They never laid down once and shot their weapon with their eyes closed. Now, when they were in training, a bunch of them, when they threw their first grenade, threw it with their eyes closed. Just freaking right out. But they learned, I got to be watching. I got to know what I'm doing. I got to know what my target is. And that's what we just did in this prayer right now. We speak life. Now, let me say it again. When it comes to COVID, the first thing you do is you bind the spirit of infirmity. Because it is obviously on this specific thing. It's a demonic spirit. The next thing you do after you've bound the spirit of infirmity is you release the life of Jesus.
Yes.
Life and life more abundantly from John 10:10. Number three, you command and you declare that all organs of that person's body receives the life of God and begins to function effectively as they're designed to do. Amen? And then you speak over every family member that's around them that had any connection to them that they are filled with the life of God. Now, if you want that in a prayer, I have it in a prayer. Brother Mike prayed it in a prayer last night in that thread for the tent meeting. And I would encourage you to not hesitate to pray for people you see online who say they have this.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate. If they say, pray for me, then put prayer in for them. Why? Because you and I are anointed by God to be a healing room. This ministry is anointed by God to be a healing room. Yeah, that's a good idea, Mike. It's a good idea. Because here's the thing. Not everybody knows how to pray these prayers. And I want you to realize, got to take this thing seriously. 99% of the people will walk out of this with nothing. But it doesn't matter. There's still 1% of the people that ain't walking out. And in the name of Jesus, those of you considering getting this, you better be on your faith. On your faith. And walking in faith. And my faith is with you. If you have to get it to get your job done or whatever, in the name of Jesus. Does anybody know where we're at? Have I got everything done so far I was supposed to be doing? Pray for the veterans and the United States. Angel Collier, Velma Osborne Welch, welcome. 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 We just was praying because some people come on and said they had a situation going on. And I thoroughly want to see you learn to speak boldly the answer. Don't look to God and say, God, would you do it? You speak the bold answer. You speak it. You speak life and life more abundantly into their lives, into their bodies. Because, got to be careful what I'm getting ready to say there. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that. And I'm not going to say that. Let's see. What was it I was really trying to say while I was saying what I said? Because the thing you and I got to do is be functioning in faith. Jesus did not say that you should ask him to drive out the demon. Jesus said that you speak the words. You and I got to speak these words. All right? Give me just a second here. I just sent this to Rob. He was praying for a neighbor of his, or a friend. Brother Rob's back. Rob, if you can post that prayer that I sent you in the comments right now, I would like to have these prayers. You might say, Pastor, what's up with that? You got to have a prayer to pray. And you might say, Pastor, I believe everything you teach it. I don't know how to put it into a prayer. Well, Brother Mike just posted one. And I don't know, Robert, can you post that? Can you copy and paste that in the comments? Let me know whether yes or no. If not, I'll get it myself. Mm-mm. All right. No, I sent Robert a prayer. All right. It looks like he can do it. Why are you doing this, Pastor? Because you and I are anointed by God to be a healing room. But you cannot be dependent on my prayers as being the answer to everybody's problem. When this camera's off, I want you praying these prayers as bold as I am. The day will come when we'll figure out how to put you guys live. And there you go. There you go. Thank you, Robert. Brother Mike's got his up there. Now, if you look at this prayer that Brother Robert just posted, this is just an instruction I was given to him. Now, watch this. I left some blanks in it for his name. And for you to see how to build a prayer like this. We always function according to the power we have grown into with our study of the Word of God. Be bold and strong. And know that God wants to use you. Pray this with me. In the name of Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all who were diagnosed with any virus. But it doesn't matter what you put in there. Because the Holy Spirit is in him. And we know the same Holy Spirit is in each of us. We command you, COVID-19, to die, cease to exist, and put their name in it. By the same Holy Spirit power, we command you to release any attachment to any cell in their body. According to the Word of God, we declare life, strength, and health to fill every cell and tissue of, and you put their name in it. Jesus has given us the keys of the kingdom, and we bind COVID's effect in their body, in the bodies of anyone who's been in contact with them. And so does God Almighty. It's like the thorn speech that we've been praying for. We declare all the kids, the wife, the mom, the dad, this family, your immune system totally resists this. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We declare and loose life more abundantly, working supernaturally in every cell of William's body. Well, that's supposed to be a space there, not his name, but okay. Watch this. As a minister of reconciliation and an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, as a child of God, we pray this by the authority we have as a joint heir with Jesus in the name that is far above all principalities and powers. And then I put some scriptures in there. Now watch. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your help. Now, Mike's prayer is out of another set of verses. All right? I'm putting both these up here. You can see both of the prayers, how they work. And I wanted it that way so you can see God by the Spirit of God is going to give you the prayer to pray. Now, do this. Just remember this. If you're doing it online, type it in. Please stop and read it. Please stop and read out loud what you're just getting ready to click the send button to. Because too many times when these prayers are written, they switch it. I don't know how or why. And I've sent some and then read it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't say that. All right? I'm just, these are just words of wisdom to you. Watch. Let's read Mike's prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we intercede right now. Natural answers of man have failed, and we need a supernatural solution. We speak the blood of Jesus over this situation. Now, see, that's not Mike saying to Jesus, Jesus, will you speak the blood over it? That's Mike saying, we speak the blood of Jesus here now. We speak by the blood of Jesus. Don is made whole. We speak by the blood of Jesus. Signs, wonders, and miracles baffle the medical profession. What is he doing? He's making a straightforward declaration saying, this thing's going all the way through. Speak it done. Speak it done. Don't say, oh, Lord, will you please? No. Speak to the mountain to be removed, and it'll be removed. Remember, if you have a question about Holy Week, put it in right now. Get it sent to me so that we can answer these questions in a minute. I'm really glad we're doing this. I don't know why we haven't done this more frequently than what we have. Does it matter? We're doing it. Here we are. We speak by the blood of Jesus, all right? In John 5:6, Jesus asked the man at the pool, do you want to be healed? Verse 8, he healed him. Don cannot speak for himself, but we, the body of Christ, stand in the gap and answer for him. Yes, he wanted to be healed. Well, why else did he go to the hospital except to be healed? Right? All right. So, make him whole. Heal his body. Matthew 16, it's written, on this rock you build your church, your ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As is written, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We bind COVID and we loose your perfect will. We loose the angels of the Lord to guard Don and every one of these other prayers right now. This person for Chris Rich, in Jesus' name, life, we speak the name by which every knee will bow. We speak the name of Jesus Christ over COVID and stand in total expectation it will be broken. The thief comes to steal and to destroy, but Jesus came and gave life and life more abundantly. We claim this life and supernatural healing over Don in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that it is written, your word never returns void. We, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, speak your word, knowing it will not return void. We speak it done in Jesus' mighty name. Now, screenshot it. Copy and paste it, whatever you need to do, all right? That way you have that, and that way you have it, and it'll be a blessing to you, and you'll be able to use it in the future anytime you need it. I use this regularly. I pray for COVID. I've sent that to who knows how many people, 50 people probably. The life of God. Amen. That's good. That's good, brother. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your help. Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate your help. Here's the thing, guys. Every one of us, every day, are reaching people all around us. Every one of us. And what's important is that we speak the word boldly now every time the opportunity shows up. And we don't hesitate. Jesus, the Father, and Holy Spirit live on the inside of us. You're back already? The grandbaby left? Now, Mike, I know she's a Tony, but you shouldn't let her drive that young. Thank God for grandbabies. And thank God that they come over. Kelly Delker, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, life and health and strength in your body in every area. I declare the supernatural power of life overtakes every part of these things that causes whatever it is in your life. I declare life fills your body, your soul, and your spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, and we declare God's blessing on you, God's blessing in you, and your sleep will be blessed with the manifest presence of Almighty God in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. My goodness. Does anybody know where we are right now? Let me check email real quick. See if anybody has sent a question in. Email's clear. Sister Leanne, say something for a minute.
Hello. Well, what are you talking about? Did you pray for Kelly?
Yes, we did.
All right.
We're praying, duh. Well, hallelujah. We're just praying. And Mary, Pastor Rick's here. Hi, Mary. We love you. And all y'all are here. And it's Saturday Night Live. And we've kicked this thing off to a good start in the mighty name of Jesus. Here's the deal with this, guys. Mike, you ought to call in and say that, brother.
What?
You ought to call in and say that.
I left for a minute and came back. What happened?
I think you should. You call in and share what you were saying. What I showed you today, brother. I think it'd be appropriate right here at this time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was... Say that part you were telling me right before we came live here. It's the thing of it is, I can say it, brother, but when God spoke it to you, it's a good word for this gathering of believers. It's a good word for this ecclesia. And it would be good for them to hear you say it out of your mouth. Here's the deal. God didn't say it to me, even though I agree with it. And I agree that it's a very true statement. Now, as we go through this, I've got a whole mess of verses, man. I got so much scripture up to an Easter question. That's what this is all about, Mary. That's what it's all about.
Did you answer?
No, we'll get to Shannon's in a minute. Okay. Yeah, we're getting there. Well, we just got kicked off. We got into prayer. We put our prayers in there. We got everybody fired up and ready to go. And now I'm looking at it saying, hold it. I need that word that God gave Brother Mike tonight. He gave Brother Mike a word about our gathering here, about this ecclesia. And it's very appropriate right here. I didn't know it was going to go this way. He didn't know it was going this way. But God sets things up for us that we don't have any ideas there until all of a sudden we walk in and are like, well, I guess that's why that happened. And this is a good word. Now, Mary's going to put in a good question. We had a question earlier that said, with the failure of man, the first time. What about God having a new heaven and a new earth? Does he trust us? Is the coffee all on them?
No, you need more.
I need more coffee already. And now, remember this. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. Saturday nights, we always reserve for question and answer session. Tonight, I got a lot of verses of scripture about what Jesus did while he was in the grave, and about the grave, and about death, and about life for you and me. I'm going to tell you right now. Jesus wasn't just standing around 3 days while he was in the center of the earth. When they laid him down and sealed that tomb, when they laid Jesus' body down and sealed that tomb, Jesus was already in hell dealing with the devil. And when he showed up, he didn't show up weak. He showed up really. Brother Mike's with us now. Let's listen to this word that God gave him today about the ecclesia here. Good evening, caller. Are you there?
I am here. How are you, Pastor?
Oh, wait. It was somebody from New York. I'll be right back with you, caller. I got to get the New York guy first. You sound like you're from Michigan, but that's all right. Go ahead. We'll let you talk anyways. I love you, brother.
I love you, too. Oh, I've never been confused with one from New York before. That's a first.
give it your best New York accent.
I don't know if I actually could. I remember being stationed at Fort Devens, and it was getting a car, and I it's been too long. I can't even imitate it, I guess. But as Shannon and I were driving down the road, it was right before you went live, and I'm like, man, I think I got a word, but we don't have time because our five-minute conversations are like an hour and a half, and it was literally 10, 15 minutes before you went live. But the gist of it is we weren't given this platform just to get by. We were given this platform to thrive. We were given this platform so that we weren't limited by a building. We weren't limited by time and space. The sound of our voice can travel to the ends of the earth. And we've got to get bold enough to walk in the authority that's already been given. As I think about it, and as we were talking, I mean, we were talking literally, I've never seen it done before, but this is the direction it was going, where there can be people laid out in the spirit and altar calls online.
Oh, yeah.
We're not limited by time or space anymore. If I get into specifics, I can actually speak about the impartation. If we go to Acts 19, I don't know, it's in the middle somewhere, or maybe it's towards the beginning. But Paul was asking, you know, if they were baptized.
Yep.
And what baptism? And they said John's baptism. And Paul laid hands on them, and immediately there was an impartation. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And their personal day of Pentecost, much like Acts 2. And immediately, they started praying in the Spirit. And Jesus said, that all the works he's done, we will do, and greater works than these will he do.
Amen.
Will we do. There are no limitations here, guys. You know, when I think about what's going on with Don, I mean, my first thought is ideally I'd like to go to the hospital and lay hands on them, but I don't have to.
Yeah.
I can speak it right here in Marcellus, 150 miles away, in the mighty name of Jesus, Don Jr., rise up and walk.
Amen.
It's getting spoken to the heavenlies. And there is that spiritual impartation.
Yeah.
We just have to take our thinking just a half step farther. Are we thinking in such a way that we limit ourselves? Or are we actually operating in the will of the Father and the tools he's given us to reach the ends of the earth from our own homes?
Preach!
So I guess really I'm waiting. I paused. You said wait, and then you didn't come back with anything.
No. I didn't say wait. I said preach.
Oh, I thought you said wait. I thought, you know, you were off on the side of the ropes, and I was supposed to run over and tag you in, which I was fully prepared to do. But oh, I'm laughing in the spirit right now.
Come on, brother, come on.
Vacuum, so what I'm saying right now, the will of the Father is that you do have the gifts of the Spirit, that you are able to pray in the Spirit, that you do have that gift.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be in front of you like Paul was to lay hands on you. Your personal day of Pentecost can be right here, right now. I speak the power. Not only the presence, I speak the power and the presence. The Almighty manifest wherever you are right now. I speak from your belly. Flows a river of living water, and as you open your mouth, the Spirit gives utterance. And you put words to it, and you, oh, Rokesh. I don't know who's getting this right now, but open your mouth and give it words.
Come on.
We're not limited by time or space anymore. We're not limited to a structure and say, yeah, we operate in God's house, and then we get our preaching and we go home. No. We're not called to be an 8 to 10 a.m. Sunday morning Christian. We're called that this is our lifestyle.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Night and day. We live it every night and every day.
Amen. Amen. You know, so as we're praying for these COVID people, don't think you're limited, because God doesn't know any limits. The blood of Jesus knows no bounds. Oh, you're making me call in, and I'm just laughing now.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, you see, and as we also spoke, I've spoken a couple times, you know, going back to one of my favorite movies of all times, Remember the Titans, and the assistant coach says, I don't want them to gain another yard. You will blitz all night. You will blitz all night. You will blitz all night. And as Pastor Sam and I were talking about vaccinations and et cetera, et cetera, I don't want to get too much down this road. But this road was paved while we weren't paying attention, while we were thinking, oh, that's just a little battle. What difference does that make? Where vaccinations could be forced on healthcare workers, could be forced on this, could be forced on that. Well, now, in my life, it looks like it's a real possibility that at some point I'm going to be forced to be vaccinated for this whatever.
Find that now.
Oh,
Come on, bro.
I fully expect the needle will break as it tries to pierce my skin. That vaccination will be dead on arrival. It will have no power.
Amen.
But standing by while that precedence was set, by not, in 1 Peter 5:9, it says you resist the enemy with bold, vigorous faith. You resist everything. You hold the line. You blitz all night. You don't let him gain another yard because he hasn't earned a single inch.
Not an inch.
So now we find ourselves where the enemy has gained territory and been able to set some precedents that he didn't earn. And it's our job to stand in the gap and take it back.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I just went down 50 different rabbit holes on that. But I guess that's really what I was really trying to speak is, as we're going to new levels, our boldness needs to go to new levels. We need to be bold as a lion.
Yeah.
We just spoke some pretty bold prayers. And what happened in Acts when silver and gold we have none, but of such we give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, the man does rise up and walk. Well, the man rose up and walked. And then the officials tried to smack their hands and said, you can't speak that name here anymore.
Nope.
So what did Peter and John do? They go back to their brethren and they pray to be even bolder. They just got in trouble for being bold. And they prayed for even more boldness. That in thought, action, and deed, they would operate in all boldness. All. A-double-L. All.
A-double-L.
No lack of boldness at all. And they just got in trouble. So here we are, the government's trying to tell us what to do and tell us what to think. And there's always this premise where they go, oh, you can't be a Christian because, oh, what about the children? What about the children? Stop operating in a domain that you don't have any authority in. That's the ecclesia's job. It's our job to stand in the gap and protect
Amen.
The children. It's our job to speak the blood of Jesus. It's our job to speak Psalm 91. It ain't the government's job.
Amen.
You know, Ronald Reagan said, nobody wants to hear I'm from the government and I'm here to help because it's a lie.
So it would be good if someone in the government knew.
You know, there's churches out there that have delivered millions of meals in there. How many meals has the government delivered? You know, when we think about this $1.9 trillion spending bill, which if every man, woman, and child qualified for and got, I forget, but it was something like $462 billion that would have been spent. Where'd the other $1.5 billion go? But if you took that money and you divided it evenly among the churches that exist in the U.S.,
Every church
would have been given $5 million. Every church in the U.S. with $5 million will change the whole world.
Yep.
You're going to have missionaries with boots on the ground in areas we haven't even heard of before. You're going to have revival breaking out in the street. Instead of like San Antonio where the church kind of dropped off food and scurried away, no, they're going to be bold enough and have the resources to actually do a little street preaching. You know, today's tithe and offering day. Oh, brother, I'm going places. The church doesn't beg for money.
Yeah.
I don't beg for money. Why? Because I'm a tither. The devourer has been rebuked in every area of our lives. Could you imagine?
Can you imagine?
If churches started opening the book and walking in what they should be preaching instead of walking in the doctrine that preaches busted, broken, and disgusted. Could you imagine if the church empowered discipleship?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, well, why don't you just chill back there in the back pew and don't open your mouth and we'll tell you when to say amen.
Wait now. Hold on. We got a good back pew here and we want you to say amen. And the only times I tell you when to say amen is when I feel like you're being quiet and you really should be saying amen.
Well, I'm not talking about here because we've broken all the rules.
All right.
Because the back pew and this gathering of believers is anything but quiet. I mean, I've got pictures of and Marcella, Sam stepping back to the back pew, eating bacon donuts, and preaching from the back. Sometimes the glory's coming from the back pew in this gathering of believers. I tell you what. But yeah, why is the church limiting us?
Another one.
Or attempting to. It's having no effect here. We're not preaching religiosity and churchianity here at COL.
Right.
We're preaching
right.
relationship. We're preaching
right.
chase God. We're teaching lean in and hear the voice of the Father. Mix it up with your tongue and deliver the will of the Father, whether you're saying it in the Spirit or you're praying it in English or
Amen.
Whatever language you happen to speak, be it Pakistani or Malay or Spanish or I know I'm going to forget. I think I've seen French before. So if you want to parlay boo in Francais, you go ahead and parlay boo. If you want to hablo Espanol, you go ahead and you hablo Espanol. Just make sure that you speak Dios in that. Make sure
Amen.
You're speaking in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, the Great Commission doesn't say you have to be called to an office. No.
Right.
No. He says,
hey,
go
Mike.
Therefore on my authority.
Hey, Mike, keep going. I'm going to get up and walk away. I got to get my headphones. I think somebody sent me a question in a video, and I got to get my earphones. So just keep going on where you are right now about the Great Commission. I'll be right back.
All right. I can do that. I seem to have no lack of words tonight. But it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's two interesting things there. It doesn't say if you're a pastor, you're an apostle, or you're an evangelist or a teacher, go and make disciples. No. It doesn't say that at all. It says you, me, whether you hold an office or not. That's what we're called to do. But it doesn't stop there. It also says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say if you're a pastor in a church with a baptismal with the water temperature 78.6 degrees so nobody gets too cold. It doesn't say that at all. It says you do it. Now, I'm not saying if you have a place to go and have that done, if you have a place to go for people to make that public declaration, because it is a public
Amen.
Declaration that you shouldn't go there. I mean, I'm not saying go behind your pastor's back and just start dunking people. Don't do that. That's out of order. But I tell you what, if there would have been a stream in San Antonio and people would have said, baptize me, I would have said, let's do this right now.
Well, and Mike, look at Philip. Philip wasn't an apostle. He wasn't one of the 12. And he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, who was the man in charge of all of the queen of Ethiopia's money. He was the financial steward for her. And to this day, there are born-again, spirit-filled believers in that nation that are connected to that Ethiopian eunuch's baptism by Philip. And Philip wasn't an apostle. Exactly what you're saying.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Well, look at what Ananias was. Ananias was a disciple who heard the voice of God and said, oh, Lord, are you sure about this? Are you really sure about this? Because I've heard about this Saul of Tarsus guy, and he is one bad hombre. Are you sure about this? A disciple. Guys, we never know what's on the other side of us walking something out.
Amen.
It could be the next Terry Mize. It could be the next Sam Cottle. It could be the next Kenneth Copeland. It could be the next
Mike Tony.
Anybody. Well, I'm not going to put myself on that list of names. That's an honor I have not earned. But for sure, you never know what's on the other side of that. You know, in Tulsa, I thought sometimes as things were set before me, this is a land of some whoa, what was that? But in Tulsa, you have some, right?
Is the video still there? Go ahead, Mike. You're with us.
No.
Whoa, I'm hearing something weird here. Okay,
yeah.
I got that to stop.
Somebody got mad, though.
Okay. So, as I was in Tulsa, and I remember Pastor Sam and I had this conversation, there are some mighty men and women of God in Tulsa. Terry Mize is based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's like, why is this placed in my path? Because there are people much more equipped to deal with this than me. Well, here's what you got to look at, guys. You got to look at your sphere of influence. The person was already in my path. God would have had to move mountains to get so-and-so to cross paths with brother Mike. Oh, Holy Spirit, let me see.
Okay.
There would have been a lot more chain of events that had to happen to set that in order. God doesn't think like that. God thinks, I have this disciple right here, right now. This is going to, their lines are going to intercede right here. And you don't know what's on the back side of that. I mean, I've told the story of the guy who was wasting a lot of money on lottery tickets, and that was broken due to the tithe. Now, the thing that hasn't been told on COF, Pastor Sam knows this, I screenshot the text, he just got a job offer. He's making $7 an hour more now than he did before.
Come on, man.
He got a $10,000 signing bonus and $35,000 in relocation money. $45,000 got set in his hand.
Wow.
You don't know. You don't know what's on the backside of your action.
Of your obedience, that's right.
You just see one little thing and you're like, okay, I'm going to walk in this because I've been told to. I'm not sure I'm the right person, but. But in reality, you know what I've come to accept is not everyone is going to respond to a Terry Mize. They're going to say, yeah, of course, man. The guy's been there, done that, and of course he's speaking bold faith.
Yep.
But how does that pertain to an average Joe like me?
Yep.
So God needs to put the average Joe in front of the person and go, looky here, brother. This is what we need to do. Wow, I've went a lot of different places.
Yeah, you were. and evidently, Mike, you made somebody really mad because the whole stream shut completely off.
Well, I rebuke that in the mighty name of Jesus.
dispute that.
What in the world is that?
Well, here's the thing. We're cutting a swath down through the realm of the spirit, and they don't like it. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't care whether they like it or not,
Amen.
And we're going to keep going,
Amen.
And we're going to go hard and be bold. That's what you were saying. Be bold. So, all right.
We're
going to
be bolder. We're going to be bolder. You know, it's funny because I kind of laugh at it now. I mean, it used to be opposition was like, oh, what's this? This isn't supposed to happen. What is this? Now I kind of laugh because it's like, if you're wasting all this time and energy on me, that means a convert's able to walk unopposed to where they need to be. That means there's another disciple somewhere that's able to walk where they need to be unopposed, because a demon can only be one place at any given time. So if you're interfering with me, that means you can't interfere with somebody else. So go ahead. Go ahead. If you want to waste your time on me, you go right on ahead. I don't care.
Amen.
Well, and you know, let's just take this thing apart a little bit farther. And then we got some good questions about Easter, so we'll answer them. But this is a powerful thing that you're saying, Mike, because on February 21st, when God spoke that prophetic word to you, to this body of believers, he said, I will have you known for who you are. You are a healing room. That's
Amen.
What he called it. So that means people are going to come that need healing, bam, they're going to be healed. That means some way, somehow, and I don't have it yet, but I'm searching. We're going to have a call-in program that's this program, and people are going to be able to call in, pick up a phone, and one of you are going to answer that phone, and you're going to cast the devil out. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead. You're going to do whatever is in front of you. And it's going to be right while the program's going on, because people that are listening need an answer right now. And you and I can offer that to them. And they won't always type it in. And when you
Amen.
Think about that, that's been going on ever since Oral Roberts went live with his video camera back in the 50s.
Amen.
24-hour-a-day phone lines have been going for the Christian church for 40 years. And on the other end of it was people who were being set free, transformed, and delivered, and yet we just didn't ever have where we had this live video like this for everybody to say, hold it, wait a minute, look at what God is doing right here, right now. I mean,
Amen.
You think about Chris's story. Last night, he did not go out in the spirit when I was praying for him like you just said a minute ago. But it very well could have happened.
Absolutely.
Just like Chris Rich just said, I got to go. A friend of the family was killed in an accident. In the name of Jesus, live and do not die.
Amen.
Do not die. Live. Well, Pastor, how can you be so bold? Well, because I got bold inside of me. His name is Jesus. I know I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't need no glory for Sam Cotto. I need the words I speak to give life to that person wherever they are right now, and their body come back to life in Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name.
Amen.
You think about
Amen.
Andrew Walbeck. Have you ever heard Andrew Womack's story, Mike?
I have not.
About his son.
Oh, yeah.
Here, wait. Come here and tell the story real quick. Because I don't know the story as good as Sister Leanne, but we'll just do a sweet sop. A sweet sop. Never mind.
I don't. Hello. I don't know all of the details of the story. I know he and Jamie, his son was.
Just tell as much as you know, yeah.
Yeah, his son, I believe he was 21 years old, and he and Jamie had gotten a call that his son was killed in a car accident. And he was several hours away. It took them 5 hours to get to him. And he said all of a sudden this calm came over him after they freaked out. This calm came over him, and he and Jamie started speaking in tongues, and they prayed in tongues the whole way there. It took them 5 hours. And when they got to the hospital, they took them to the mortuary, and he was, already in the cooler. And he said they had him roll out the body, and he laid hands on him, and they continued to pray, and they brought him back to life. And I don't remember even how long it took once they laid hands on him. It was like within a half an hour, I believe, he came back to life. And so that's an amazing story. And that's what we need to be doing, raising the dead, calling these spirits back into these bodies.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Okay, here I go.
You know, not only do we need to be chasing the relationship, guys, Jesus only operated in the will of the Father. We need to be actively seeking the will of the Father and speaking that. Because Proverbs 18:21 tells us the power of life and death lies in the tongue.
Yeah.
Now, with life being the beginning and death being the end, if we control the beginning and the end by the words that we speak, we also control everything in the middle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I don't think you did too bad, brother, for I just got a word maybe we should say.
Yeah.
I went down some rabbit holes. I kind of apologize. I don't think you were down in the rabbit hole.
No, I don't think there was a rabbit hole in it, brother. I think you were just right on with the words. And it's here's the thing we got to see. We've got to see that this anointing is going to come and rest on you, and you might be the next one to call in and say, Pastor, I got a word. And now, Brother Mike usually checks his words with me before he brings them live. I think you have every time, haven't you? Or did you? Maybe not. I don't know. I know Brother Mike. I trust his relationship with God. And I know he's a man of honor and order. And so he's always going to function the right way. And I'm going to tell you, this word is not only accurate for tonight, that people will have healing lines right here on the program, and people will be falling out in their house.
Come on.
But it won't be the first time that happened. And people have been raised from the dead in situations just like this. And what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm like, wow, who knows? Who knows how all it works? But I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to work, and we're going to see things. Let's see. All right. We were talking about Andrew. Yeah, thank you, Wilma. Thank you for making that understanding. That's why you don't fall asleep while we're preaching.
No, don't say that. Maybe she was slain in the spirit. That's
hallelujah.
Possible.
Well,
spoke, so it's entirely possible.
Yeah.
I fully believe, it kind of started with a little bit of a conversation, as I'm wherever, it doesn't really matter. I'm able to lay hands on people, and somehow I've gotten bold enough to do so, and it's kind of like, Father, if we could only, and he's like, why are you limiting this? You can. From right where you are.
Right where we are.
You can speak it, and it will come to pass.
Yeah. Right now. Now, let me just pause for a minute, Mike, and say this. Andrew Womack's son did not die a few minutes ago and just get raised back from the dead.
Oh, no.
That was years ago when that happened. I wanted to tell that story because I knew it was a story. I wanted Leanne to tell it because I knew it's a story of somebody who actually died for 5 hours, was in the morgue on the slab, and came back to life. I know another story, how these things, things like this happen, where a person their child was in a bathtub in a curling iron or a hair dryer or something, dropped in the bathtub and electrocuted him, and he died. And they called the prayer line and got people praying, and they're like, well, he's not moving, but we don't have to send him to the hospital. And for 3 days, they spoke over that child to live and not die, and that child came back to life and is alive today.
Yeah.
Now, why are you saying all this, Pastor? Because you and I got to get used to mighty, amazing, miraculous things going on around us and acting as if this is just our daily process of how life happens.
Yeah.
I thoroughly expect before Jesus comes back that there's going to be people come back from the dead and be standing right next to the urn their ashes was in when their family comes home. Now, I don't have no proof of that. But what's the difference of Lazarus coming back from the dead?
Right.
What's the difference of Jesus when he comes back to get us? It's going to gather people's ashes from everywhere, and that body's going to go to heaven.
Yep.
Now, I don't have a verse. Nobody crucify me. I'm not going to make a doctrine out of it. I'm not getting a business card saying I'll raise your ashes from the dead. I ain't going to do that. Because we're not sensationalists. We are people that say, that person's assignment is not done. Get back in your body. Life come back to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, all of that because it's Resurrection Sunday tomorrow. But it's Resurrection Day right now. Hey, anyways, you get your heart free, Mike? You got more to say? Are you done, or where are we at?
You know me. I mean, we can bounce off each other all night. This is question and answer Saturday night, so we should probably move on with that. But I mean,
well,
you know, the one thing that just crossed my mind was Acts 29, and some of you are going to say, wait a second, Acts only goes to chapter 28, and you're right. You're right, but the book of Acts is still being written.
Amen.
What's chapter 29, the chapter that we're writing right now, what's it going to say?
You know, the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, is, when you look at it, I'm going to open my Bible up right now. I think what it says is the Acts of the Apostles, all right?
Correct.
But when you think about the book of Acts, it's not about the act of the apostles, because there's people in there all through there that are called they. The most prevalent person in the book of Acts is the people called they. And they weren't apostles. And they are in the book of Acts. So even though this is the act of the apostles up to when, what? It's not everything they did. And like Brother Mike said, that book's still being written. There's still apostles of the Lamb today.
Mm-hmm.
Not apostles of the Lamb. There's still apostles called by the Lamb on this day. And that book is still being written. And if you get yourself up and moving in this, you're going to have some chapters in there. Whether you're a deacon like Philip, or you're just a disciple like Ananias that went and got the worst, that went and got the most well-known terrorist healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. As a disciple. Hallelujah. Well, I think you're right, Mike. We better get to some questions and answers because we did have a few come in.
Sounds like a good plan to me. We'll let God be God.
Hey, thank you so much for calling in, brother. I appreciate it. Appreciate your gift. Appreciate you who you are in the body. Truly do.
Amen.
I truly do.
I appreciate each and every one of you. You guys have no idea how much you all strengthen and inspire me and Shannon. It's this gathering of believers. If Jesus were here, he'd say, I haven't seen this type of faith in all of Israel, I tell you what. So it's truly an honor and a privilege to call in and talk to you guys for a minute. Love each and every one of you guys. Respect y'all. And wow. Wow, 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 wow. What's God going to do next?
Amen.
What's God going to do next? Amen.
Like you said, healing lines, raise people from the dead, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. All right, bless you, brother.
All right, Pastor. Love you guys. We'll talk to you.
Now, let me say one thing before we get started on these questions. We are going to have some form of a sunrise service tomorrow morning. And we welcome you to be a part of it if you want to. I've been looking at what time the sun rises where. Because where we live, the sun rises for a very, very long time.
Yes, all
right.
Does.
When it peaks over the edge of the hill, that's a different story. But the sun rises here a long time because there's no trees to get in the way. And when the sun starts coming up over the horizon, it starts getting daylight. So I'm thinking that sunrise in Michigan is what I'm going to deal with. And I had the time, and I thought I wrote it down, but if somebody could just post your time when the sun is going to rise in your city in Michigan, then I'm going to probably go off that. And we're going to be at a truck stop tomorrow. We've been trying to work on this all week, working on a system with it, and the system didn't really work out like I wanted it to, but I'm not going to stop. Because I've had the Holy Spirit showing me this picture of being at this truck stop and offering communion for Easter Sunday. I don't know who we're going to meet or what. I tried to get it all set up. Nothing seemed to go through. I'm not going to fail God, because if somebody's going to be there that needs Jesus, then I'm going to be there, because the Father's been showing it to me over and over. So we're going to have a sunrise service from the parking lot of a truck stop.
Hallelujah.
And it's probably going to be at sunrise Michigan time. So if you want to be a part of it, you're welcome to be a part. And and then we're going to offer communion to any of the drivers that want to get up and come over and have communion with us. 7:14 a.m. All right, that's Eastern. Oh, Jesus. That's 6:14 here.
Is it still going to be dark
there? No, it won't be dark at 6 o'clock. It won't be dark. Anyways, thank you, Wilma. Appreciate your help. And so it's going to be about 7-ish Eastern Standard Time. That means when we get off here tonight, we're going to bed. No late night talking tonight. Now, let's get to some of our questions that we had about the Easter season, the Holy Week. Now, one of the things that Mary asked is, why did blood and water come out of Jesus' body when they reached up and pierced his side with the sword? Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, help us take each of these questions and get an answer straight from your holy word. Help all of us come together with the word of God that we know and produce an answer that brings and gives glory to your mighty name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. So, number one is the physiological answer about water and blood from the heart. Isn't there a water sac around the heart?
Yeah.
All right. So, number one, physiologically, when the man pierced his side, the Roman soldier, he pierced that water sack and he pierced the blood. Now, this is a little gross, but the Roman soldiers knew exactly where to put that spear so they would kill their enemy immediately. They were very trained, skillful trained, of getting that spear in the right spot and knowing exactly how to kill that enemy immediately. So number one, you know, that's the first thing that is going to happen. Now, the Bible says, unless you're born of the Spirit and of water, all right, you can't be born again. So you got to be, you know, you got the water and the blood. That's all part of it. Number, you know, the greatest fact is when that blood came out, I think the greatest fact is that Roman soldier had the blood of Jesus all over him.
Yeah.
All right. It's probably not the greatest fact because it's bigger than the Roman soldier. You and I are born again by the precious blood of Jesus. And one of the greatest revelations of that is found in Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it is chapter 9, and it's verse 1 through 22. Actually, it's the whole chapter. It's a whole chapter, and it's all the way down through 28. This whole chapter is about the process of the blood of Jesus and the very amazing power of it. Now watch this. Verse 12. Not with the blood of bulls, of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption, how? By the blood. And then it says in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works, so you can serve the living God. The very blood of Jesus that came out of his heart when the soldier pierced his side, that blood is the blood of the Lamb. Some people say the very last thing they did was puncture his heart and drain all the blood out of his heart from that point of view. But Jesus, remember what we taught you yesterday, Jesus shed blood in the garden when he surrendered his will. He said he shed blood in the judgment hall when they put the crown of thorns on his head and beat it with a rod. And your mind, your will, your emotions, he shed blood in that area of your life. So every thought can be covered by the blood of Jesus. He shed blood at the whipping post. By his stripes, you're healed. He shed blood on the road of life and as he went to the cross. No matter what road you're on, the blood has already been shed. And then he shed blood in his hands and in his feet. Where you go and what you do is all covered by the blood of Jesus. Every area of your life is covered by the blood of Jesus. And look at verse 22. Hallelujah. Everybody is getting their packages.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
In 5 days. The prayer has been answered. Look at verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But watch. Take the negative out. With the shedding of blood, sin is in remission. Hebrews 9. 22, with the shedding of blood, sin is in remission. All I did was take the negatives out so it makes it a little easier to understand. You get too many negatives going in a verse And all of a sudden, people are like, is it happening or isn't it? What do we got going on here? Well, according to the law, almost all things are purified with the blood. That's the law. With the shedding of blood, sins are in remission. That's why we say it in our communion prayer. By the blood of Jesus, all my sins are placed in remission. Why? Because of that verse right there. That's the verse it comes from, Hebrews 9:22, right there from our communion elements. So, No, I do not want to limit the fact that he pierced his heart, because there's a verse of scripture that says they'll pierce his heart. All right? I don't have that. If somebody wants to find that real quick, you can find that. There's a verse of scripture that actually says that. But the revelation is this. Jesus was shedding blood all the way from the Garden of Gethsemane clear to the cross when that soldier pierced his heart and out came the blood. Now watch this. That first drop of blood sent shudders and tremors through the regions of hell. Because all the demons were in heaven as angels. And they saw Jesus and they knew Jesus. If you remember in Jesus' ministry, they actually said, why have you come here to torment us before our time? Why? They were once angels in heaven. So as soon as that first drop of blood hit the ground, they knew it's all over. They did not know he was Jesus. They knew Jesus was coming. But they kept saying, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God. And all of this wickedness against him was if you be the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When that blood hit the ground, hell shook. Because there was nothing that could be done to stop it. All the people who hated him were there, and he was going to die that death by the hands of wicked people after he did nothing. And he was the spotless Lamb of God in the mighty name of Jesus. All right? So I think we've answered that question about the blood of Jesus. It not only was the blood from his heart, but the blood of Jesus is the blood of Jesus wherever it came from his body. And he shed blood for you and I in every part of our life in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, what was the next question?
And that when Mary wanted to know about the tithe, if the tithe started before or after Jesus, if the tithe started way before, but I didn't expound on it at
all. All right. Well, I want to deal with the new heaven and the new earth first, because that's not something we talk much about. And then we'll deal with the tithe question. So the question came through today. Let me just read it. Will the new earth be like Eden? Would God try again with humanity? Now,
actually, it would be a really good tool.
Hey, it's all right, Mary. We love your questions. The cool thing about you, Mary, is you're not ashamed to ask a question. Some people, there's a lot of people have questions. They just don't want to ask them because they don't want to seem dumb. But it's not about being dumb. It's like, I want an answer. So somebody give me an answer. I like it. Now, let's see. Where was I? Oh, the new heaven and the new earth. Pause just a second here. Now, You might say, Pastor, is there actually a lot of good verses on this? Well, there is. Oh, this was a question that Mary asked. Does it actually say in the Bible that the linen cloth was folded? So let's get that one first. John chapter 20. And what time is it? Oh, I don't have time for this at all. Woo, Jesus. How much time you guys got tonight? Because I got a whole lot of verses about the new heavens and the new earth. Now, here we go. There are people who have said they have the cloth that Jesus had on his face. And if you send me $49.95, I'll send you a 1 square inch of it. And it'll be the most anointed prayer cloth you've ever had. Please don't fall for that stuff. Please don't fall for that. We got a bottle of water out of the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. Well, I got a word for you. The water that went over Jesus' body, he was baptized, has long since evaporated out of the Dead Sea. So don't fall for that stuff. All right? Just don't do it. It's a gimmick, and it's gimmick Christianity. And they're doing it so you'll send them money, and they can keep living their life, what they want to live. And it just isn't. It's not God. Don't do it. Don't get into it. Don't be a part of it. Now, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, is the story of Mary Magdalene first thing in the morning. And she saw Jesus. They went and got the disciples. They ran to the tomb. Verse 3, John 20, verse 3. Peter, therefore, went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. They both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. Peter and John having a competition again, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Isn't that an interesting statement? Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Brother Mike, I was in Turin, museum, whatever you want to call it, happened to be open, which doesn't happen often. Saw the Shroud of Turin. Wow. Don't want to hijack talking about that, but just wow. All right? Talk about it a little bit, brother. Here's the thing. There's a reason Jesus folded that thing. My personal belief about it is that he folded it on purpose to say, fold, 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 nice place, away from that, it's done. What do you do with your clothes? You fold them and you put them away and it's done. Jesus is like, that situation is done. And it's time to keep on moving. It's time to be on to the next thing. Now listen, 3 days and 3 nights in the center of the earth. Now watch this. He wasn't just standing around looking. He was dealing with things very specifically. And I went a looking today and digging up a bunch of verses on it because I want to know some of the things he did. The challenge you face is nobody actually wrote about it in one chapter. It's just a bunch of verses that's scattered all through the Word of God. And it's there. We just got to look at it and realize it's there and realize what God is going to do. Now, I want to hear Mike's story about the shroud, but I think I need to get to the new heaven and the new earth. And then we'll have Mike come back on and tell us about the shroud one of these days. How's that sound? Now, let's go to the first verse about the new heaven and the new earth. Well, let's not do that. Let's do one thing before that. One of the things Jesus did when he was in the center of the earth, I want to read these verses, and then we'll go to the new heaven and new earth.
All right.
1 Peter 3:18-22. 1 Peter 3. All right, that's cool. Shannon asked a question. Well, I don't always like to say that. Anyways, here we go. Thank you, Shannon, for saying that. I appreciate that. 1 Peter 3:18-22. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Remember, he was filled with the Spirit. 19, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who were formerly disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype, which now saved us, baptism, not the removal of the flesh, the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and has at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers have all been made subject to Jesus. Now watch. During the time he was in hell, he preached to the captives. And he preached the good news to the captives so that they could be set free. When Jesus rose from the dead, it literally says many of the fathers were seen walking around Jerusalem. It's a pretty amazing thing to realize Jesus went there and emptied Abraham's bosom. It's one of the things he did. Now watch. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, 8 and 9. Romans 4, 8. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. 9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he would fill all in all. During that time Jesus was in the grave, he preached to the captives that were in the grave. And you got the verses in? Add one more verse in there with that, Shannon, and that's Luke 4:18-19, which is Jesus' assignment on this earth was to preach liberty to the captives. And these are people from the Old Testament who are bound and held captive in Abraham's bosom. You hear the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was Abraham's bosom. Jesus went there, emptied Abraham's bosom, and they all went to heaven with him. What a glorious, amazing, wonderful, awesome day that was in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, the new heavens, Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. Hey, Mike, like you said, there was definitely the presence of God there, which is one of those things that causes you and I to look and say, when we feel the presence, there's a lot of truth to this that you and I might not see regularly, but you can tell by the manifest presence of God God is doing something, just like right here. The other night when we were praying for all those different people that have dealing with trauma, those traumas were breaking right and left, right and left, right and left. And here's the thing. I thought we were made a new creation. You are. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Whatever that trauma is in the realm of the spirit, I don't know. I do know this. I felt a release in my spirit when I prayed for trauma to be broken, the trauma of ministry to be broken in people's lives. I felt a release. And I've had some serious battle ever since then. Nendo shalaka dimana vanda dede sikadeantama. Shondama liva de kama nisaka. All right. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. We'll pray for this request in a minute. I want to read a little scripture first. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Say this with me, a new heaven and a new earth. Now, let's grab a verse that talks about the old one. 2 Peter 3, and we're just going to read verses 1 through 13, and then we're going to pray for this request. Second Peter 3, 1 through 13. Well, I'm just hearing the voice of God. We need to pray for this now. We need to pray for this now. This young man's name is Brody Kelby. He was in the vehicle with his wife and two daughters. And they're fine, as I read it.
Yeah, the daughters are fine. They had a broken arm and internal injury.
On the way to Easter dinner, happened in front of the family's house. Well, Brother Mike, this is what you just said, my brother. When you came on here, Pastor, do you know how much I want to see this man raised from the dead? Me too, but it's not about you and me wanting to see it. It's about the will of the Father that this person live. And fulfill his time on this earth. Let's pray in the spirit for a moment. Nashtoma. Nasht kebalastapa vaninunde. Enda solama kavarebista. Anda la sondera la manasota kibarama. Andosha kilamana makitida. Ando la side velamanduka. Nost kambarole savare nanite. Enda son de la bakata avare noste. Enda sonda malakidebe. Ola sambando. ora la site va amanashikate. In the mighty name of Jesus. Huh. Shondala makite veda. Endala sinda koranasama. Shoda kamba devanatama. I'm just getting my words right, guys. Mande sibalama no kuntima. You will live and not die. That's a powerful words, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We speak to all of the heavenlies. Line up and get in order now. The mom, internal injuries, be healed in the name of Jesus. The trauma for the whole family to be, have this happen in front of the house, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thief, you cannot steal this life. You will live and not die. In the mighty name of Jesus. I got my eyes closed. Ando samboraka. Anda la sidaba. Endo sandakalata. Spirit of death, lose your grip. Live and not die. Say this with me. And if they've committed any sins. Everybody say that. And if they've committed any sins, those sins are remitted. We stand in the gap. We make up the hedge. And Jesus, you our Savior said, which is harder to say, be made whole or thy sins be forgiven thee. And we declare it tonight, be made whole and thy sins be forgiven thee in the same thing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Shombala kivala. Nast kendevalasa. Shomandika velibatama. And the Shondela Badasikata said in the program this morning, 400 years of silence. God spoke to Zechariah and then gave him 9 more months of silence so that he didn't end the answer by his words. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We declare you live and do not die. Stone the Kabbalistima. In the name of Jesus. I believe I've said the words that I must say. You've agreed with me. We spoke them into the realm of the spirit. And there's a point in this. You got to learn that once you speak words, just stop. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. That's where we were at. Talking about the new heaven. And the new earth. If you get a word on this prayer, text it to me or message me. Don't put it in there. What are we doing? Guys, we are learning by the Father's help through the Holy Spirit of exactly how to say and what to do and be in line with God. I'm going to read these verses now. Ready? Mm-hmm. We out of coffee. Yeah. All right. 2 Peter 3:1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, and both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, look at what this says. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're mocking the words that Jesus is coming. For this they willfully forget. Boy, that's a powerful statement. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. 7. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, do not forget this, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, important verse. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. What are we reading right now? We're reading about the heavens and earth we know today are going to be burned up with a fervent heat. And it won't be by a missile from Russia. I want you to get this picture. People say it all the time. If every nuclear bomb on the face of this earth detonated today, it's not going to destroy the earth. It would obliterate all the life on the surface of the earth. But it cannot destroy the earth. You following me?
Mm-hmm.
Because the earth is the Lord's. It don't belong to you and me. We've been given stewardship of it. We've been given a responsibility to tend and keep it. But the earth is the Lord's. The fullness of the earth is the Lord's. No matter what man thinks they can do with this earth, they can't do it. Because the earth belongs to the Father, or to the Lord Jesus. He created it. and man cannot destroy it. That's why all the stupid green stuff is just stupid. They talk about all this green energy, and they create a bigger mess trying to make the green energy than if they had just let everything be like it was. Just so you know, electric cars do not save any of the emissions that anybody thinks it's going to do. It pollutes the earth as bad as anything else that's been there. It's just that the people who are the ones making the money to do all that are getting billionaire rich because everybody's like, wow, we got to go to electricity. Verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If this earth that we live on will be dissolved, what about the little tiny you and me that love? You been in an airplane lately? From 40,000 feet and seen what you and I look like on this earth? We're little specks. Verse 11. All these things will be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord God? Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and new earth. Watch this. In which righteousness dwells.
Hallelujah.
Shannon's question is, God's going to trust us. Yes, he's going to trust us. Why? Because he's going to put Jesus' righteousness in us. And now we have the nature of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. By which has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the very divine nature. Now, it doesn't say of God, but you can literally put it in there as a defining phrase. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The reason God's going to trust us is righteousness will dwell there, and you and I will dwell there because we're filled with righteousness. That's why everywhere you go, bring everyone you know to reconciliation with the Father. Say this, I am a minister of reconciliation. Everybody say it. I am a minister of reconciliation. Your place on this earth is not hellfire and brimstone. Your place on this earth is not judgment. John the Baptist is the one that said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But when you look at that verse, there's nothing in all five of those verses that says, everywhere you go, say repent. We've been made ministers of reconciliation. And what is that? God is in Christ reconciling us to himself. And what's that mean? You're made one with the Father because you accept, you receive the work of Jesus. John chapter 1. If I believe in you and receive you, you make me a child of God. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I was missing a phrase there, and it was starting to bother me. Well, watch this. Where did my verses go? Oh, there it is. Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you about me right now. I got the note. We just spoke those prayers. And I spoke it. We're reading the word. What does the word do? The word amplifies whatever needs to be spoken. So the word of God right now, even though we're talking about the new heaven and the earth, new earth, has the ability to speak to us about this situation for Brody Kelby right now. My brain says we should call on 50 people and have them all go into intercession immediately. Wait a minute. The centurion said, speak the word. And sometimes our biggest problem in prayer is we speak too many words. I got two more references about the new heaven and new earth and we'll be done. The only problem is those two references are about, well, it's not a problem. It's about 20 verses, but I'm going to just read. You ready? Everybody say read and no preach. Isaiah 65, 17 to 25. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Isn't that interesting? But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. Oh, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed.
There's
a thought to ponder. 21, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. Oh, this is when they returned. They shall plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. This is the 1,000-year reign. The top was the new heaven and new earth. And now we're in the 1,000-year reign. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed and the Lord and their offspring with him. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the dust shall be the serpent's food. They will not hurt or destroy all in my holy mountain. That's all about the millennium.
I love it.
Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 24. I'm doing good so far.
You are. You're doing great.
Behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. Now, that's not going to happen in the new heaven and the new earth because that's where righteousness dwells. There won't be no death there. That's why I knew the other was about the millennium, because the child's not going to die where there's no death. All right. Verse Isaiah 66, 16. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. 17. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. Don't read it twice, Mike. 18. For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, so they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and those among them whom I escape I will send to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Joven, to the coastlands afterward, after afar off, who have not heard of my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Let's keep reading. We're going to get there. They shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all the nations, on horses and in chariots, and litters, on mules and on the camels. To my holy mountain, Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, this is during the millennium. The sinners they're bringing, offerings to the kingdom 1,000 years, while you and I are here on this earth reigning with Jesus. 21. And I will also take some of them for priests and Levites. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth, wow, and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Pastor, what in the world did we just read? We just read about the new heavens, the new earth, the fiery, fervent heat that's going to burn up the old heaven and the old earth. But before that happens, you and I are going to heaven for 7 years with Jesus for the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to return down here with Jesus. He's going to wipe out the Antichrist. And there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on this earth with Jesus reigning as king. And you and I get to reign with him as kings and priests. And then Satan will be loose for a period of time. And then this earth will be destroyed with fervent heat by Jesus, the creator, not by man. And at that point, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth that is only filled with righteousness. And say it with me, and I will be there.
And I will be there with you.
Amen. Amen. Why? Because we're people of righteousness. Yeah. Say it. And I will be there.
And I will be there.
Because I'm a person of righteousness.
Because I'm a person of righteousness.
Now, I want to say this. I just heard somebody say, Pastor, this sounds like we got to do this for a long time yet. Well, when you get the revelation of his righteousness, you'll never worry about time, because you'll realize that God has made you the righteousness of Jesus. And you're a new being, and you're a new creation. You've got to get the revelation. So here's the thing. Where you are right now in God, he loves you. He's proud of you. You're there. Do it. You got to get this revelation that you've been made the righteousness of God, because what that gives you access to is having that perfect relationship with the Father, where you're one with him, and there won't be no sin coming out of you in any way, because you'll realize, hold it, I am the righteousness of God. I get to walk in Jesus' righteousness. It's not some perfect act of human flesh making yourself not sin. I have made my decision. I will never sin again. And then a couple hours later, you sin. Wait a minute. I've been there. Every one of us have been there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care who they are. The answer is learning that as soon as you received him, Jesus, your sins were wiped away. He didn't say if you can confess every sin you've ever committed. He said, receive me, and I will not impute your sins against you. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the child of God. You are called a minister of reconciliation. What is that? God, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. It says, you are a minister of God of reconciliation, helping people to realize who they are in God and that it doesn't matter who you are or what sin you've committed. If you come to him and say, Jesus, I receive you and I receive your righteousness. See, as soon as I said that, you can feel, you experience the righteousness of God washing you away. It doesn't matter what sin you committed. If his blood is going to purge them all, no. Since his blood has purged them all, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. John Wayner, welcome. Love you. Because if it's about the sin we committed, then there'll be some bad, ooh, you was a bad dude. Well, don't make a difference. Because it's not about what you used to do. It's about who you are today.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Because you can brag about what you used to be. But Paul said in Romans, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees boasted, and Jesus called them snakes, vipers, and hypocrites. Wicked people. Now, it is time to be done for tonight and to receive our communion elements. Been hiding on the back pew? Brother John, in some churches that's possible. In this ecclesia, that's where everybody sits. So we moved all the pews from the back pew to the front out of the way. Everybody's in the back pew. Now, let's pray and seal this night, because we've went from A to Z and Z to A and back to Z again for the night. But that is who God is on the inside of us. We will have a sunrise service first thing in the morning. And we want you to be a part of it. We will have communion. Make sure you bring communion elements. You can go out in your yard and see the sun or something. And you might sit right in your front room and be a part of the communion elements and the sunrise service and just say, I'm going to sit right here. There will not be YouTube in the morning because I can do YouTube from my phone. I can only do it on the computer, and I don't believe I'll have computer signal there. So just to let you know, we're going to do that. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, what a night. What a night. What a day. Mm-hmm. What a week. Mm-hmm. What a year. What a life you have given to us. Thank you that we've just now scratched the surface of what you want to show us, like Brother Mike was saying. Be bold. Speak strong. Speak bold.
Sorry, we still get
And we thank you that you are alive and well working in us right here, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, all of these questions that we may not have come up with a good answer yet, we know is found in your holy word, and we will never stop searching your word and listening to your voice to lead us in the paths of righteousness, because that's what Jesus promised. And those paths are walking in your righteousness every day. You give us your righteousness, and then you show us the path. And we just walk in it. We rejoice in who you are. We rejoice in what you've made us. We rejoice in your will and your plan for our lives every single day. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless every person who will ever listen to this in the future. What a night. What an absolutely amazing night this has been. We choose to live in, dwell in, walk in your love. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. And amen and amen. I think, let's see what happened there. All right, that's all good. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For those of you, if this is your first time receiving communion, we have an amazing new covenant worship here, and we're glad that you're a part of it. All of this can be found on our website so that you can receive communion again with us. We read the scriptures. We pray the prayer of salvation so that every person is right with God. Then we receive the elements together. And then we rejoice and sing a song, and we'll be done for the evening. And we welcome you to be a part. You might say, Pastor, I've never done this before. It's all right. Just stick with us, and we'll lead you into one of the most wonderful situations you've ever been in. One of the greatest relationships you'll ever have. Not a situation. It's the greatest relationship you'll ever have. In the mighty name of Jesus. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me get these guys out of the way so I can see. Thank you, Rebecca, for saying you like our new business cards. Wow. Look at all these comments.
Wow, that's way back there. You was way in the leg.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that something? Here they all are. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, all of it, till he comes. 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged of the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected in this. I love this verse. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because As he is, so are we in this world. Ready? Perfect love casts out all fear and the torment that goes with it. There's no fear in the communion service. If you show up here and you're wicked, it's because you're wicked. And your life will be destroyed, not because of our communion service, because of your wicked heart. All of you who show up here and say, I just want to do what Jesus says, you don't even have to worry about verse 27. Because we're going to lead you in a prayer of salvation, and you'll be right with God. When I just read verse 26, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work till he comes. You know what that means? The lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and the lamb in the book of Revelation. You proclaim all of that work until it comes. And it's all wrapped up inside of these elements right here. Jesus said, this is the new covenant. Right here. What do we got to do, Pastor? Pray a prayer of salvation. Ready? Verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. This is how we do it. We pray a prayer of salvation. I'm going to pray the prayer. You pray it with me. If you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, this is the time right now. You will be right with God if you say this prayer with all of your heart and ready to receive the communion elements. Are you ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
In every area.
In every area.
And according to the book of John.
And according to the book of John.
Jesus is the doorway to heaven.
Jesus is the doorway to heaven.
And I believe in you, Jesus.
And I believe in you, Jesus.
And I receive you, Jesus.
And I receive you,
Jesus. And I enter in the door.
And I enter in the door.
Thank you, Lord, for that experience. May every person experience what I just experienced, Jesus. Say this with me. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Yes, you are. Take your sins in a big pile and dump them out and say, there's all my sin.
There is all my sin.
I have no way to beat it.
I have no way to beat it.
Turn your hands over and say, I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling my life.
Right? Filling my life.
Say this. And washing me clean.
And washing me clean.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word
Pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. If you prayed that prayer, for the first time, this is the kingdom of God. This is what we look like. This is who we are. You are now born again of the Spirit of God, and you have taken the first step to walk with God. And from this point on, it's one step after another, walking with Jesus, walking with the ecclesia, the body, walking in the paths of righteousness that he will lead you into. All of this is on the website, SamuelJCottle.com. It's just my name. It makes it very simple for you to find. Very simple. And communion prayers on there. You can pray this prayer every single day, and you should. We do it here every program, sometimes twice, because we want you to know our Jesus no matter what. You're right with God. In that prayer, you went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from your sin, which you can't beat. You don't have no ability. to Jesus' righteousness, which you can't do anything except just receive. And when you say, Jesus, I receive you, the most miraculous things you've ever seen have taken place right there when you say, I receive you. He literally made you a completely new creation.
Hallelujah.
And I almost knocked my glass of juice right over.
Oh, no.
Whoever you are that dinged me, I appreciate you calling, because that helped me turn this down, because in 1 minute and 30 seconds, the 90-second lady would have gone off, and I got her shut up.
You would have gone off while you had juice in your hand.
Should we tease her and tantalize her? Na, 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 na. All right. Pastor, how is that communion? Well, it's not, but thank God for his wonderful presence in our life. Get you some juice and water, bread and water. One guy had Gatorade and Cheez-Its. He was in Iraq on the line. We took communion together. You ready? We're going to bless these elements and receive them together. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
By your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint
supplying. In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ and my community.
In the body of Christ and my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Let's receive the broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you now are set down at the right hand of the throne of high, and you called it joy. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force.
Powerful cleansing
on the face of this earth.
The face of this earth.
It just cleansed all my sin.
He just cleansed all my sin.
And removed it from me forever.
And removed it from me forever.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation
with my Father.
With my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I'm a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague
must pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
Cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
It's cast down in my life.
Cast down in my life.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged. My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be,
and I will always be
the glorious church.
Glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive body team. My. Now, I can still hear somebody asking this question. And it's good that you're asking the question. But, be like, Pastor, how did you know I was asking this question? I want to know, Pastor, why are we not having a prayer meeting of intercession for this young man? We spoke life and life more abundantly to him. And I'm not being instructed to have this mass prayer meeting. It's like last night with the prayer with Brother Mike. I prayed till 3 o'clock in the morning for that situation. That's not bragging. That's making a declaration. It seemed the process that should be done. And it seems that we spoke to that situation. Mm-hmm. And we must let our words be our words. If in your spirit you are being instructed to spend time praying for the situation, then you must do that. But listen, don't go in saying, oh, Lord, if I. Go in declaring thy will be done on this earth, which is what? Life and life more abundantly. This is a young man. It's a young man, two small children. In the mighty name of Jesus. But we just heard you say Andrew Womack prayed for 5 hours. This is why each of us must experience the prayer language of the Spirit. And it's why we must walk in a close relationship with the Father every day. Because just because he did it one way one time does not mean that's the way it's going to be every time.
And they didn't pray any English words. It was all the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And maybe this is the time that you'll begin to speak in the Spirit. Most of all, if in your heart you're still saying, what's going on? Most of all, go to the Father and say, Father, I need some answers. And then once you say it, be quiet and listen. Because it's real easy when you get with the Father to just sit there and talk. Sometimes he wants you to just listen.
Just listen.
And I don't know if I should say this, but I will. Cease from speaking. Just shut up. I don't like those words. I'm not going to say those words. I recant those words. But the Father can't speak and give you the assignment and the words to say if you don't stop talking. And that's why I kept reading the verses, because now that we got the Word of God rolling and flowing, now the Holy Spirit can begin to work on the inside of me and produce that answer. But I'm not in any different position than where I was when I ended the prayer in the name of Jesus. So, Jude 24, Sister Phyllis K. Raymond, I don't know where you are tonight, but we love you. Probably celebrating with your family. Yeah.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And amen. And amen. What'd Mike say? We are good at walking and chewing gum, but not so good at talking and listening. Huh? Men, have you ever said to your wife the most ignorant, foolish words of, I know exactly what you're getting ready to say? I will go kingeth James honeth youeth. Thou shalt not say those foolish words.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the thing.
It's okay.
Here's the thing. We walk with God every day. And listen, that's not just a statement. Not just Christianese. Well, what do? I walk with God. No, it's not Christianese. We literally every day. And we enjoy our relationship with him.
Amen.
Unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Why? He gave you Jesus' righteousness. And to present you faultless. Why will you be faultless? You operating in Jesus' righteousness. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How can you be full of joy? Because you're walking in Jesus' righteousness. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen and amen. See you tomorrow. You're going to be with us at 0700 Eastern sunrise service. I did one last year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's really cold. We're going to do one this year. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
And Jesus. I love you guys.
Julian and Vamala's here. Bless you. For those of you that was with us, what a night. Who's Tisha? I don't see her.
Today is Trey's birthday. Happy birthday.
Well, let's sing
Trey.
The Trey. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Trey. Happy birthday to you. We didn't do good, but no. We sure tried. Bless you, Tisha. We love you, Trey. God bless you. You're 40 again, right, man? Tay and Trip. Oh, Jesus, help me.
Tay and Trisha.
We call you guys blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. 0700 Eastern for sunrise service. We'll see you then. We love you.
We love you.
God loves you. And
Jesus
is 51 and counting. You're just young bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Just young bucks. But that's all right. God needs lots of young bucks. And I declare over you, Trey and Tisha, that the trauma of growing up in ministry is broken in your life. I know what it's like. It's really traumatic. And this last week, we had a service where we were dealing with that, and we command in your life that the traumatic situations that have gripped your soul and caused you to at some times just say, I just don't know about nothing. That trauma is broken and your life is free. In the mighty name of Jesus, free to be all he wants you to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. I'm just drumming. Bless you, Christine Barkley, Rebecca, Wilma, Mike and Shannon, Brother Robert, Dan and Gwen. Anybody else we didn't get tonight? Brother Robert, what's his name? John Wayner. Love you. Mary Pastorek, she must have fallen asleep. We love you, Mary. Sister Leanne's been with us tonight.
Welcome, Sister Leanne.
Sister Leanne, we're always glad to have you. Velma, we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus. All right, now we are finally saying goodbye and we love you.